This message, the prayer of a bitter soul, the prayer of a bitter soul. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Now, I said we're going to read the entire chapter, but I'm going to qualify that. By the way, go ahead and stand if you will, the reading of God's Word. The first verse I'm going to read two phrases of, and just trust me, it'll save me a lot of personal grief if you'll just let me do this. Now, there was a certain man, and his name was Elkanah. Verse 2. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. It said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post in the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, that I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Hannah answered and said, O my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. Isn't this a wonderful story? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful chapter that teaches us so many things. But what a wonderful chapter it is on prayer. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help me as I develop it, as I teach it, as we look at what the Scripture says. And Lord, that we can get the sense of it, an understanding about it. This is the type of message that I really believe, Lord, in a real particular way, I need your Holy Spirit's help on. I want the Holy Spirit to draw application in people's hearts. And so, Lord, may God's people's hearts be open, and may your Spirit communicate strongly and freely. And Lord, may whatever you want to accomplish, should this be accomplished tonight. Thank you again, Lord, for this place, this church, for allowing us just to be here again. Thank you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Some of you in this room, this may be the very first time you've ever had anybody read out loud the story of 1 Samuel, and you probably listened and thought, wow, what a neat story. And yes, there's probably a handful of people in this room that's true of. For many of us, most of us, this is a story we've read many times, we've looked at, we've examined, and we're going to come to it today. And of course, my goodness sake, so much in this chapter. But I want to really focus in on the aspects of Hannah's prayer. And I'm calling this message, I mentioned before, the prayer of a bitter soul, the prayer of a bitter soul. Now, let me first of all just set up the story. So if you'll go back to the first few verses in Samuel, let's set the story up. Let's lay a scriptural foundation. Let's get the facts right, because this is a very interesting, to me, a very fascinating chapter on prayer. And I want to set it up properly. I want you to understand where Hannah was and what state of being she was in when she prayed unto the Lord. Now, here we see three main characters in the first opening verses. We have a woman by the name of Hannah, whom the Bible says the Lord had shut up her womb. So it was the Lord's decision up to that time to not allow her to have children. But here's a woman who wants to be a mother. And by the way, let me say this. This desire of hers was completely and wholly and wonderfully natural and normal. This desire of hers was also an intense desire. This desire of hers at some point in this story becomes an all-consuming desire. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing sinful about it. There's nothing bad about it. You know, sometimes you can really have an intense desire to see something happen, but as you approach the Lord or as you let time, as time goes by, God allows that to lessen and He gives you peace that it's okay not to have it. But there's some things that just build. And again, this isn't a woman that's just going bonkers crazy because she wants a new house. This isn't a woman that's just miserable because she doesn't have a four-speed convertible donkey. You know, that's not what this is about. This isn't frivolous. This isn't selfish. This isn't carnal. This is normal, this is natural, and this is something that just keeps building in her and building in her and building in her. And we see that also, besides this woman Hannah, there's another woman in this story. And thank God we don't have to spend a lot of time on this application. Because most of us men, thank God, do not have to deal with what Elkanah had to deal with, because we aren't as stupid as Elkanah. Let me just put it that way. Don't get me wrong. A wife is a wonderful thing. A wife is a gift from the Lord. A wife is tremendous. Wives is just stupid. Just stupid. We won't go any farther than that. But I could take you through the Bible and show you where a few times the Lord allows us to glimpse into a family setting where there's more than one wife. You can never find a peaceful situation. God never intended this to happen. All right, and an adversary who provoked her, the Bible says. And I mean, folks, can you imagine, did you pick up as we read these short few verses? Did you go beyond the verses? Could you imagine the cruelty of this woman, the outright meanness of this person, to see that somebody has a desire, and that desire is natural and normal and godly and healthy, and yet, for whatever reason, the Lord's withholding that, and to just torment somebody over this. I mean, here's a woman that was blessed with children that was tormenting a woman that could not have children. I don't know a lot about this woman, but I'll tell you this. There's some things are broken in somebody's heart and somebody's mind when they can be that kind of person towards another person. And so this adversary began to provoke her. She provoked her and distraught her. If the Bible says in verse 6, and her adversary provoked her sore for to make her fret. I mean, just for the mean purpose of keeping her in a constant emotional turmoil. And so this was the situation. The third person that we see in the opening verses is the husband, Elkanah. Now, Elkanah loved Hannah. And the Bible says that. And Elkanah, to a certain extent, tried to make up. Now think about this, because this plays into what we're talking about. Elkanah tried to make up for what was lacking in her life. He did so by giving her material things, by giving her what the Bible calls a worthy portion. He spoiled her extra. But you know what? That didn't fix it. He came to her and tried to comfort her and to cheer her in verse number 8 and really said some wonderfully sweet things. Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? I mean, there's a tenderness to this man. He's trying to help. He's trying to be a blessing. But in this particular instance, no amount of material blessings was going to make up for what she wanted in her heart. This was a situation where she could not be cheered, she could not be consoled, she could not be encouraged out of this. And again, this isn't a wrong thing, this isn't a sinful thing, but neither anyone around her on this earth or God in heaven can seem to give her any rest in this one area. She is distraught over the fact that she cannot have children and she wants children. Now, all of this, all of these ingredients build up to this prayer. Now, let me show you very specifically what this produced in Hannah. Because you need to understand her state of mind. You need to understand where she's at. In verse number 8, it says, why is thy heart grieved? So emotionally, or in her spirit, she was grieved. And then it says in verse number 10, and she was in bitterness of soul. So this is affecting her spirit. This is affecting her soul. She's grieved in her spirit. She's become bitter in her soul. And can I say this? It's also affect her in a very physical way. She can't eat. She weeps. She cries. And you know what? Everything everybody tries to do, it's not fixing it. It's not fixing it. Now, say, Brother Jerry, do women get in that situation sometimes? Yeah. Do men get in that situation sometimes? Yeah. Is just looking at them and telling them, get over it, going to work? No. Is just telling them you just need to learn to be content and be satisfied with what you have? No. No. Now, can I say this? Sometimes you do need to get over something. Sometimes you do need to learn to be content. But this isn't something selfish, and this isn't something petty, and this isn't something carnal. This is something that God has put strong upon her heart, and you know what? Let me say real quickly, because what we read in verse 10, you have to understand, folks, how big and what a crossroad this woman's in her life. Because in this situation in verse 10, it says, and she was in bitterness of soul. Now watch this. The next phrase is so important. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now, let me just maybe help all of us that are men here today. And let me just say this, and I'm not going to be mean to the ladies at all. But gentlemen, there's going to be times where you don't get it and where I just don't get it. Okay? All right? Amen. So stop trying to get it because you're not going to. Be sweet. Be nice. Be loving. Do extra. But there's going to be times where sometimes they're distraught. Ladies, obviously I've never been one. all I can speak of is from the scriptures and what it says and a little bit of personal experience. Amen? And that's as far as I'm going there. But there are also times when this is truly of the Lord. And ladies, let me give you this. If you get to that point, some of you have been smiling at me, some of you have nodded at me, because some of you have been there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't think this is necessarily just a woman issue. I think sometimes God can bring all of us to a point like this in our life over something. Now, honestly, should we examine it? Absolutely. Should we make sure it's not just us being selfish and carnal? And yes, absolutely. Because the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. I mean, it's really sometimes hard to even know our own heart. But sometimes, folks, what is causing this, there is a need, and there needs to be divine intervention. There needs to be a miracle. There needs to be a move on the part of Almighty God to do something in our lives. And you know what? If you get into this situation where your spirit is grieving and your soul is bitter and your body is broken over this and you do not head to the Lord, you're probably going to self-destruct. You are probably going to go into a dark, dark, dark stretch that, listen, you've got to know when you're there. You've got to understand when you're there. And sometimes you need to listen to your husband who says, hey, you're there. And you need to head to the Lord. And you need to weep to Him. And this is where Hannah finds herself. And so now I want you to, with all of those things in mind, remember this. Spirit, soul, and body was affected by this. This was something she could not be consoled over, encouraged out of, or anything that she could change herself or anybody around her could change. This is one of those times when you have to go to the Lord and say, I can't let this go. I can't lay this aside. God, I don't think it's selfish. I think it's natural. I think it's of you. And I need something miraculous to happen. Now, that's not a bad thing, and that's not a bad place, and I think sometimes God allows us to be taken there. So what did she do? This is so important. This is where prayer comes in. Verse number 10 says, and she prayed unto the Lord. Now I'm going to give you 10 quick things. I'm not going to give you a 10-point outline. I'm going to give you 10 things. Are you ready? I mean, we're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Let me just tell you what Hannah did. Number one, she prayed. Verse 10. Folks, listen to me. This isn't a cop-out. This isn't a preacher saying, well, I know you're a little upset. You just need to pray. No. When you get this upset, you don't have a choice. I mean, you do, but you better choose this. You better get to the Lord. Your husband can't fix this. No human being can change this. You've done everything you know to do. You need to honestly... Listen, we spend way too much time talking about prayer and too little time actually praying. I mean, you need to cry unto the Lord. You need to pray. Now, let me give you this. Number two, if it's that important, whatever it is, whatever that is, and I'm really, you heard me in my opening prayer, I'm not going to make much application outside of the story. Whatever that is, if it's that important, you need to be willing to bow down. Because you know what vowing a vow does? And did you see what she vowed? Vowing a vow ensures and insulates you against it being selfish. Because in this instance, and again, how to make all this application, I don't know what everybody's going through. I don't know where all you're at, so I'm going to be real careful. But let me just say in her instance, say, Brother Jerry, you don't think there's any selfishness involved? I'm not sure there's anything we do in life where there's not a smidgen of selfishness involved. I think she wanted to be a mama. I don't think that's a wrong kind of selfish, if you want to call it selfish. I think it's normal. I think it's natural. I think it's wonderful. But notice what she did here. She said, in verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. I like the fact she was so specific in her prayer. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. You know, a lot of the times when God causes this level of an unrest in us, he's wanting us to have something, watch this, so that we can give it back to him. He's wanting us to have something so that we can give it back to him. And I think that's the ultimate test. If whatever it is that's so important, if it's whatever it is that's brought you to this place and point in this condition, are you willing to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want this. I need this. I'm asking for this. I'm claiming this. And I'm vowing if you'll give it to me. And here's whatever it is, that you'll accept it from him and then put it every single bit possible on your part into service for him. And usually, if you can't get past point number two, then it is selfish. And you need to let it go. It is selfish, and you need to let it go. And I really, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to do a study on it. We've done a study on it in our series on prayer. I'm not flippant about making vows. I don't think you ought to casually make a vow. I think you ought to be scripturally educated about what's going on before you make a vow. But I think from time to time you need to make a vow. You see, what we want to do is sometimes we want God to step up big time, but we won't step up big time. We want God to fully commit, but we don't want to fully commit. And so, are you there? She prayed, she vowed. Number three, I just want to mention this because I think it's there on a purpose. Verse 12 says, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. She prayed, she vowed. Number three, she continued to pray. You know what? It's amazing how many times as I have studied prayer from one end of this Bible to the other that you see the principle of importunity come in over and over and over and over again. I'm not going to stand here and pretend that I even understand it. All I know is that it's a Bible fact. God wants us to continue to pray and continue to pray and continue to pray until, as the old song says, light breaks through. Sometimes we just need to stay in prayer over something. I'm not talking about I'm talking about consistent asking. I'm not talking about locking yourself into a closet and I'm not coming out until this happens. I'm talking about daily, setting time aside, praying about it, importunity. She continued praying. Let me give you number four. She, look at verse 15, and this is so important. She poured out her soul. In this portion of Scripture, we see Hannah giving Eli an explanation. Oh no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Poured out my soul before the Lord. Now, what is that, Brother Jerry? If you ever get to this place, you'll know. I don't know if a preacher can tell you what this is. All I know is there's times I go to prayer, and I would say most of the time when I go to prayer, and I ask for things, I'm sincere about it, I'm fervent about it, but there are some things that get such a hold of me that I spend time before God pouring out my soul over. She was there. That's what she was involved with. Let me give you this next thought. She prayed, she vowed, she continued praying, she poured out her soul, and number three, she was misunderstood. Now I'm saying this out loud because here's the priest of the Lord. Here's the priest of the Lord. And you know what? He didn't understand what was going on with this woman. I'm not sure her husband really understood what was going on. I think he was very tender with her and tried to understand, but I don't think he really understood. But she was misunderstood. There's going to be times when you get into this place and you're going to have a lot of people say some crazy things to you. Okay? And let me just share this with you, folks. just be very, very careful at what free advice you give to people who are in distraught situations and distraught times of their life. Flippant little cliches really don't help during times like that. And see, sometimes we just want this person fixed, not for their sake, but because of what it's causing in our lives. And there's times where we just need to encourage our spouse, we need to encourage our children, we need to encourage maybe a friend to spend that time before the Lord and to try to do the best we can to understand. But to tell them, you know what you're dealing with and what you're facing is a God thing, and this is something that's going to have to be sorted out in prayer. It's going to be sorted out in prayer. Now this wasn't a boom, this hit her, and a week later it was over. Did you notice the time frame? This had been ongoing. This had been intensifying. And it got to the point where it just about had shut her down. And thank God she was wise enough to get to God. And so be very careful. I mean, here's the priest of God, and he looks down and says, and accuses her of being drunk. You know, and she probably because she looked drunk. You know, it says by what he saw from the outside, good night. She's standing there and her mouth's moving and no words are coming out, and she's weeping and she's carrying on, and you know, so he rebuked her for it, accused her of being a wine bibber, of being drunk. And so sometimes during these times you're going to be misunderstood. I do appreciate the fact that Hannah didn't get mad about that. She didn't lash out. But she did explain. She explained to Eli what the situation was. Now, let me get to the next point, because now we're going to turn the corner. She prayed, she vowed, she continued praying, she poured out her soul. Yes, she went through a period of time where she was misunderstood and even rebuked for it. But at some point, she gained assurance. Now, I love this, because now that we've seen, we've traveled this little journey with her as best we could, and we've watched this, when you get to verse number 17, it says, "Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." Now, I want you to notice the transformation. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early. Notice this. She does not pray now. She worships. Because she's done asking. You know why? Because she's already got the answer. Now, folks, I'm not trying to be sordid here, but let me just ask you a question. Is she pregnant right now? So before God blessed her with a child, he gave her peace over the fact that she was going to have one. Now, I don't know where you're all at and what path you've traveled and what journey you've trod, but have you ever been there? And it's a nice place to get. Where at some point, you don't even have the answer yet. You don't even know the end yet. You don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know what exactly God's going to do. But you know this. God says, it's okay. It's okay. Now, listen to me. Let me give you something, because this is important. If you'll do what Hannah did, it is not God's will for you to spend your entire life living in this condition. I think sometimes God comes along and tries to give peace and tries to give assurance and tries to, but we've fallen so in love with being miserable that we won't let God do it. Now, at some point, God's going to show up. At some point, God's going to, listen, this is a prayer-hearing God. This is a miracle-working God. And you get into this into this place in your life, and you pour out your soul before God, and you stay there, and you pray till light breaks through, and light will break through. And at some point, listen, when it does, stop being a drama queen. Let the light shine. Let the healing happen. Get up. Wash your face. Change your countenance. Eat a meal. Put a smile on your face. Because God touched you. Because God helped you. Because God gave you some peace over it. And I don't believe this. I'm not standing around with a stopwatch on anybody. But I don't believe God ever let an event happen in anybody's life that He intended to put them in a valley and let them live in that valley until they die. I don't believe that for one second. We've got to, first of all, do the right things instead of fleeing away from the Lord during those times. Head towards the Lord during those times. Get before His face and let Him do what only He can do, and that is the miraculous. And all I know is there's never been a hurt in my life, and I've had hurts in my life. There's never been a disappointment in my life, and I've had disappointments in my life. I'm just as human as anybody in here. Where there was not a time where God came and put His hand upon me and said, "Son, it's going to be all right. I'm going to fix this. I've got a plan. I've got a will." And listen, I'm not saying I even understand how He was going to do it. All I know is a peace settled on me, and I got up. And you know what I did? I went back to doing what He's called me to do and giving my full focus to it and put it into His hand and leave it alone. And listen, you got 3 months and you need to get over this. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying at some point, you got to let the Lord move in. You got to let the Lord do something. Because He's the only one. When you're in this condition, He's the only one that can. Man, that's an exciting time in your life when all of a sudden, you know what? It's like you've gone down on your knees again like you had time and time and time again, and this weight, this burden, and only this time when you stand up and nothing's really changed yet, nothing's really happened, you don't see any, but you, all I know is, okay, Lord, it's taken care of. Let's get back to work. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Now, she gained assurance, and then she worshiped the Lord. No more was she praying, now she was worshiping. You know what she was doing? She was thanking God in advance for what He was already promised to do. She went to worship. Then she was blessed. She received. Number 8, she received what God, what she had prayed for. And number 9, this is so important. Let me give you the last two. Number 9 is found in verse 20. She remembered. She remembered. And number 10, she repaid. So what'd she do? Number 1, she prayed. Number 2, she vowed. Number 2, she continued praying. Number 3, she poured out her soul. Number 5, she was misunderstood. Number 6, she gained assurance. Number 7, she worshipped. Number 8, she was blessed. Number 9, she remembered. Therefore it came to pass when the time was come about Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying what? Because I have asked him of the Lord. This is the answer. This is what I asked. And you know what? God did it. And then number 10, she repaid. She followed through on her vow. Verse 24 through the end of the chapter. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And she slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh," now notice this. Notice what she said. "Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord for this child. I pray the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord." You know what? She said, "I remember when I prayed. I remember when God assured me that He was going to answer it. Now He has answered it. And I remember what I vowed. And I'm going to repay what I said. Lord, I'm keeping my end of the bargain." Now, again, I sat down in my office and I outlined this and I prayed over it and I wanted to give all kinds of application, but I really felt like the Lord said, teach what Hannah did, and whatever is going on in the people's lives, I'll come and talk to them about it. So I did, and I'm done. Now let the Lord help you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You would stir something inside of us and help us, Lord. This is real life stuff. This happens. This isn't a story in a Bible thousands of years ago and one woman that went through a unique event. This is real life. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us. There's going to be those times. There's just going to be those times. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek you. During those times, help us to seek you like we've never sought you, to pray like we've never prayed, to pour out our heart like we've never poured out our heart, to be willing to vow and be willing to repay. And God, forgive us for our weakness. Forgive us that most everything we do is tainted. And Lord, thank you for just loving us as your children and coming to us during those times and helping us and strengthening us. Thank you for those wonderful light breaking through moments where you come alongside to assure us and help us and strengthen us and give us clarity. Lord, I have no idea where folks are. And there may be some in this auditorium that's in the middle of this. There may be some that says, yes, preacher, I could testify of everything that you've talked about tonight. If there's anybody here, they need to know that God will show up. There may be somebody that's looking at me during this thing saying, what in the world is he talking about and how does this affect me? But Lord, there's going to be a day probably where they need to know these things. Thank you for Samuel. Samuel. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for this man. Thank you for this prophet. One of the greatest prophets in Israel's history, maybe the greatest prophet in Israel's history. Thank you, Lord, that he came about because somebody got burdened. Somebody wouldn't be consoled. Someone wouldn't stop praying. Somebody wouldn't stop pouring out their heart. And a miracle happened. And I pray you'd come alongside anyone, Lord. Those maybe that's going through particular things, bless them and strengthen them.